The ministry is not easy. Teaching and preaching the Word of God is not easy. Sharing the gospel is not easy. Building up the saints, there are those who will come alongside and support that. That's what the body of Christ does. So that God's Word will get out and we are built up, and God's Word will get out and people are saved.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, it's clear that the Apostle Paul was very concerned that the early church was unified, but now that the church is established, is the subject of unity still as important as it was in Paul's day?
You know, Dave, it's every bit as important as it was back in Paul's day. And you know, from Scripture we see that one of the goals of the church is to attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of disunity in churches these days, but we're going to see today in our passage what true unity is and how we can have unity in the local church. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, you probably heard the old saying, to dwell with saints above, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell with saints below, oh, that's another story, right? We all know that, right? We all know, even though that we are redeemed, that we still have these bodies of sin and we still sin. And even within the church, those who are following the Lord, wanting to obey Him, there can be conflict, there can be difficulties. And now sometimes we recognize within those conflicts that we just need to let things go. You know, most conflict would be resolved immediately if we just let stuff go. If we just gave it over to Christ and let it go. If we just knew and understood that love covers a multitude of sins. If we stopped presuming about what we thought might have happened, which we don't know for sure, we thought we do, if we just let it go. But there are times when things are not let go. Now, with non-believers or make-believers in the church, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have conflict because they don't have the Spirit of God. That's a given. But with believers, we shouldn't have conflict, but there may be times in which there is conflict. And so how do we, as believers following the Lord, deal with conflict in the body of Christ? We're going to see that answer today as we see and look at overcoming hindrances to standing firm in Christ. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and we are going to be looking at verses 2 and 3 today. Now, the Apostle Paul, as you know, is writing the saints who are in Philippi. He is under house arrest in Rome, chained to a Roman guard 24/7. He has already prayed for these believers that they would grow in their love for Christ in real knowledge and discernment, not phony baloney love, but real knowledge and discernment, that they would choose the excellent things in Christ. He has shared his circumstances that although he is chained, the gospel is not. And he has shared his attitude to live as Christ and to die as gain, understanding that everything that happens, whether through death or life, that Christ would be magnified. And then he addressed the Philippians' attitude that they were to have the mind of Christ. They were to persevere, press forward, press on, stand firm in the gospel. And they also were to have united, humble hearts. They were to be like Jesus Christ, seeing one another as more important than themselves, scoping out for ways to do so. And we saw the perfect example, the mind of Christ. We see that he was so gracious and so kind and merciful to us that he didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself and then humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The perfect example of the mindset of humility in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we saw, because he has been exalted back to his rightful place as Lord of all, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, that we are to obediently work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We are to have a righteous respect and reverence for God and a fear of sinning because he's a holy God, yet the price has so greatly been paid for us. And then because of him working in us, we are to not complain or argue in anything. believers should are to do all things apart from complaining and disputing. And then he gave three selfless examples of those who are working out their salvation or obedience, himself, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And then he started to share threats to that truth of walking with Christ and working out your salvation. Beware of the dogs, the evil workers, the false circumcision. And he explained that himself and his cohorts, but also believers, that we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. You want to spot a true believer. You want to spot a true servant of the Lord in terms of leadership. They put no confidence in the flesh. And Paul said, if anyone did or could put confidence, it was me back as Mr. Saul. That's what we saw back in chapter 3. You see, he had the religious qualifications. He had all the qualifications to put confidence. He was righteous on the outside. He had the heritage. He had it all. But when he came to Christ, he got righteousness through faith in Jesus, and he considered everything else as refuse compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ. And then we were called to have his attitude, to press forward, to look forward, that we were to look forward, not turning back, forgetting what lies behind, to that upward call in Christ Jesus, becoming more like Jesus Christ. And we were to mimic the Apostle Paul and his walk. We were to mimic the faith that he had, applying the Word of God to circumstances and attitudes. We were to do that. And we were to scope out those who do that also. That's who we should be hanging out with. That's who we should be around. Those who are wanting and trying to trust Christ like Paul trusted Christ, allowing his Word to bring about a changed mindset towards one another and towards him. We see that. And we are not to go back to from where we have come. And as we are to mimic, he gave two examples of why we should be doing so. A negative one, because those who don't, those make-believers, are now enemies of the cross of Christ. But we have a heavenly citizenship in which we eagerly await a Savior who will transform this humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. And we came into chapter 4 in which we were commanded, right, to stand firm in the Lord. To stand firm in the Lord. And that these believers were Paul's joy and crown. They were his current joy if they followed and walked with the Lord. And they would be his crown in eternity as they glorified Christ for what God allowed to happen through Paul in their lives through the Word of God. Tremendous realities. And now we come to a portion which seemed to be separate commands, but I believe they are together. And I believe we're going to see today that even this exhortation to these two women who had a conflict really has part of the main theme of the book involved in it. That maybe what the Apostle Paul is addressing this, and this is the illustration of what he's trying to get across throughout the whole thing. And he's using a real illustration in the midst of the congregation. So with that in mind, how are we to live in light of our heavenly destiny? We saw we stand firm in the Lord. And within that, how do we avoid the threats to standing firm? We're going to see that we need to know how to resolve conflict in the body of Christ, because it's coming, and hopefully it never gets to this point, and we'll see that, but if it does, God gives us wisdom on how to address it. With that in mind, Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, and I'm going to read it here. I urge Euodia and Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Again, I just mentioned that we were commanded to stand firm in the Lord. But yet when we have conflict, yet when we, as we will see, are worried, yet when we see we are not rejoicing, we cannot stand firm in the Lord. These are obstacles to standing firm in the Lord. When our mind is not on Christ, these are obstacles to trusting the Lord and pressing forward to the upward call, to becoming more like Him. You see, when I've got spits and spats with people, I'm not becoming more like Him. I'm becoming more like I was before I was in Christ. And we're going to see these are obstacles. Then Paul is going to head on address this one particularly. You see, we should recognize that difficulties and arguments between believers should not be there. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians, turn to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. And we see that these things, these events in the Old Testament were written for our instruction on whom the end of the ages have come. They're written for us to be instructed that we, who now have the Spirit of God, would not crave evil things. And guess what? When we're craving evil things, we're going to have grumbling, complaining, and arguing, and all that stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. Now, all these things happened as an examples for us that we should not crave evil things as they craved, and not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did. 23,000 fell in a day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they are written for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Now, I speak of grumbling here, but we saw earlier in the book of Philippians that we are not to grumble or dispute in anything. There should be no disputing among believers. We see in chapter 2, verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. And that takes the renewed mind, relying on Christ, wanting His will to be done, having His word flowing through my heart so that I see things rightly and I don't respond in my flesh. So then, we see this is very important. You see, if we are disputing or arguing, or if we are, as we will see, not rejoicing, if we are worrying, we are targets for the enemy, and we will certainly not stand firm in the Lord. It's very important. So as we look at these two verses, I want to point out that we're going to see basically two things. We're going to see the Apostle Paul direct his exhortation to them first and foremost personally. You too take care of this, and we'll see how. And then he will direct it to what we think might be leaders in the body of Christ on how to come alongside, because this spat had gotten out of control. So let's take a look at the situation. Verse 2 back in our passage. I urge Euodia and Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Think about this. This is Paul writing a letter. He's under house arrest. The Philippian church is sitting there. Epaphroditus is getting up to read the letter that Paul has gotten. He gets to chapter 4, verse 2, and he says, I urge Euodia and Syntyche, right? He's saying it right in the midst. He's calling their names out to live in harmony in the Lord. And again, I don't believe this was any small argument, because the word had gotten back to the Apostle Paul over 1,600 miles that there was a problem. There's a problem. And we're going to see that these two ladies were not sideline saints. They were not make-believers. They were those who had diligently served the Lord with the Apostle Paul. They were true followers of Christ, but there was a problem. And so you could imagine the stares. And so with that in mind, we take a look at this. Now, when we have difficulties, when we have things, the Apostle Paul points things out at times. He'll name names. He'll name names. He names names concerning bad theology, by the way. There are times in which leadership must name names to protect and here to actually build up the body of Christ. You see, there are times where it isn't judging to name names. You see, in the context of pointing out dangerous theology. And within that, the Apostle Paul reveals in 1 Timothy, the goal of our instruction is love. And then he goes on to name names of those who are at odds with the truth of God and the God of the truth. Let me share this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Turn there. This commandment I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regards to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander. Hey, there's some names there, right? Whom I decided to turn over to Satan so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. Pretty serious. Go up to 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's interesting, in Paul's letters to Timothy, in each one in the beginning, he shares some names. Watch out, Timothy. Watch out. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and the love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phlegias and Hermogenes. Names. He names names. Then the Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesimus, for he has often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. One more passage. Look up at 2 Timothy chapter 4, a little farther up in verse 9. Make every effort to come to me soon, for somebody, he names his name, Demas. Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. The reality is, at times, the Apostle Paul needed to name names, some to warn for doctrinal issues, and some to address for people's good, as we're going to see today. Remember, he called out John Mark in the end of Colossians. John Mark and him, well, they had a spat, him and Barnabas. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. John Mark had deserted the ministry. Paul said no, rightfully. And there was a spat at that point. And John Mark was restored, in a sense. But Paul needed to give special instructions concerning that. And so sometimes their names need to be named. And here he says, I urge, back in our passage in Philippians, Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. You see, Paul comes right out and says that these two women have a problem, and certainly it was evident, and he's going to address it head on. Now, before, again, I want to remind each one of us, we're going to see these were not sideline saints. They weren't people who just came on Sunday, heard the sermon, went home, did the rest of their week, they're on their own. They had served the Lord with Paul. They were involved in the ministry of the church. They were functioning rightly. It's not talking about people who come each week and they have issues or whatever, you know, because they're walking on the flesh anyway. Talking about people who are trusting the Lord. And so we realize, take heed, you who stand, lest you fall. If you're trusting the Lord, walking with Him, we can be tempted and we can have conflict. And we need to know how to resolve it. So with that in mind, he says, indeed, true comrade, I ask you, and looking in verse 3, to help these women. Notice they weren't sideline saints who have shared my struggle. Verse 3, in the cause of the gospel. They have shared Paul's struggle in the same cause, the cause of the gospel. The term struggle speaks of contending and toiling by one side. They had strived along with me. You see, the ministry is not easy. Teaching and preaching the word of God is not easy. Sharing the gospel is not easy. Building up the saints, there are always opposition. There are those who will come alongside and support that. That's what the body of Christ does. So that God's word will get out and we are built up, and God's word will get out and people are saved. And there is a whole bunch of different gifts that function to glorify Christ. And Paul says, they have served alongside with me. They have struggled with me. These women had been in the midst of the battle, the good fight of faith. And yet they were at odds. And everyone knew about it. Now, why would there be conflict between believers? Well, James gives us a snippet into the ultimate reason behind that. James 4:1, I'll read it for you. What is the source of your quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures or desires, what you want, that wage war in your members? When you don't get what you want, when whatever it is, good or bad, there becomes conflict if we don't yield ourselves to Christ, as we'll see, and do what He wants. So then, we have conflict between two women who were sharers of the struggle of the gospel of Christ. And so what's Paul's response to this struggle? He says in verse 2, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony with the Lord. And then what's amazing here is we recognize usually when there are issues between people, especially in the church, it's probably in a couple areas that they could be. The first one could be a doctrinal issue, right? Could be theology. There could be a difference on something that could become an argument, maybe. It could be personal issues, personality issues, or whatever it might be. There's personalities that bother someone or get on someone's nerves or whatever it might be. It could be methodological issues. They do it this way, I want to do it this way. Whatever it might be, there are things that come about that cause conflict. Now, I'm pretty certain I believe that this was not a doctrinal issue. And the reason why I can say that is because in every other letter of the Apostle Paul, he addresses doctrinal issues right on. I believe if it was a doctrinal issue, he would have said, Euodia, stop saying that. Syntyche, stop saying that, whatever it was. They're wrong. You see what I'm saying? He doesn't do that. He doesn't address that. So it's my belief this is a personal issue, whether it's over methodology, personal interactions, whatever it is, there's a spat going on between these ladies. Now, we need to be careful to never let it get to that point, believers. We need to recognize through presumption comes much strife. You know, it's so easy to hear something from someone and misread what they're saying and misread it and then think a whole reality that's not reality, by the way, and then treat them differently because of that. And we should be going to people right away and say, hey, you said that and I wonder what you meant by that. You know, we should go to people or we should let it go. We should let it go. We need to address these things early before they get to this place. We need to know that love covers a multitude of sins. So yes, they said something that was insensitive. It's not their character. Let it go. Let it go. I heard a story where a person, you know, had come in and they were doing something for someone at the church. And the person came in and the guy goes, oh, just figures like that. And the person thought, oh, because he was late or whatever, okay? And he thought, oh, he's mad at me because I'm late. Well, the whole thing was the guy was basically saying, oh, this day's gone bad. It just figures it would go bad this way for me. My point is we can misunderstand stuff with one word. We need to ask what's going on or we need to let it go. So with this in mind, he comes and he says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. And it's really important that we see that Paul does not say, I urge you to work out this thing which I've heard is going on between you guys. I urge you to specifically address this issue of the color of the carpet or whatever it might be, whatever their spat was about. He doesn't address that. He does not address the issue between them. And that's really important. That's really important. We need to see that. He urges them to do what they should do, which will be the solution to the problem. See, so often we want to get into the issues and people will say, we'll talk to other people. They'll come on, hey, you know, so-and-so's got this. What do you think about that? And they'll talk to someone else and then you add someone else in that. And then all of a sudden there's a big problem. Go to that person. Do it privately, as we will say. The Apostle Paul does not get into the issues. He doesn't, because it's not important. What's important is that both of them, as we will see, have the mind of Christ, and that will weed out the issues. He says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. And you might not be able to see this, but in your English, they translate it rightly. He uses an unusual Greek construction where he uses the verb twice. You could say, I urge Euodia and Syntyche, and the urge applies to both. That's usually the way you'd say it. Here he says, I urge Euodia, I urge Syntyche. Each one equally. You both need to have, as we will see, the mind of Christ. See, the Apostle Paul is not taking sides here. And that was my point earlier. Don't listen to someone they come to you to talk about someone else. Don't ever do that. If someone says, you know, I want to talk to you about this or that, or just slowly slips in something about this, just say, go talk to them. Don't listen to it. It's sinful to do so. Don't do it. The Apostle Paul doesn't get into it. I urge Euodia, I urge Syntyche. Your head's right and the Lord is going to say, okay?
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the final moments of today's program, we are such an issues-driven culture. So how do we bypass the prevailing issue of the day to bring God's mind to a debate or disagreement?
Dave, we need to understand and know the Word of God, and we need to take the Word of God and lay it over those issues. You see, when we take the Word of God and we understand it rightly in its context, we're going to have unity. And so often we get focused on issues of this or issues of that in different situations, and yet we don't really look at what God would have to say on that. And when we take God's Word and lay it across those issues, we're going to find that if we're submitting to His Word, that we're going to have unity. And that's what we saw in today's message, that we need to have the mind of Christ. And when we do, we're going to have unity.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.